Today's message is The Foolishness of Preaching by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
1 Corinthians 1 chapter and verse 18. Throughout this month, we're dealing with back to the basics. But we're dealing with the basics of fellowship, of the word, of prayer, of worship. Last week, we dealt with fellowship. And today, I want to deal about the value of the word, but from a unique perspective. Let's read our foundational scriptures. First of all, from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 18. 1 Corinthians, first chapter and verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Drop down to verse 21. I think I want to skip the others for the sake of time. Let me just look at my actual physical Bible here. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. Let's keep reading there. Verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And then he talks about again how he does it. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Verse 18, it refers to preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Verse 21 says, "But it pleased God through this foolish preaching," or the foolishness of preaching, "to save them that believe." And I want to talk about the word today and the value of the word from that perspective, the foolishness of preaching. That's what the scripture referred to as, the foolishness of preaching. Preaching can seem to be strange. And us preachers can appear to be strange. Some of us are more strange than others. Some of us are stranger than others. And we're all peculiar people, but some preachers are even more peculiar than the most peculiar of us. Preaching can seem very unorthodox, sometimes even foolish. Preachers generally raise our voice. We're demonstrative. It's not normal conversation in most cases. Sometimes preachers got to realize that, because when we're at home, we talk to our wives, we talk to our children. They have to let us know, "You ain't in that pulpit right now. Let's bring it down." Okay, what's all this demonstration about? Okay, preaching can seem unorthodox and sometimes even a foolish mode of communication, which even we see the scriptures acknowledge that. From the perspective of those who don't understand this, from the perspective of those who don't value what we do, the scripture says it's foolishness to them that perish. Literally means to those who perish. It means those who are on their way to hell, those who don't believe the word of God, those who don't come to church, those who don't value the communication of the word of God. It seems like it's foolish. But God says, but he still takes the wisest of the wise, the most prudent, the most intellectual of the intellectual, and changes their lives through this mode of communication, the foolishness of preaching. Which is why I often say, you may know aerodynamics, don't mean you know the word. You may know chemistry, don't mean you know the word. You may know law and medicine and whatever other disciplines there may be, but that doesn't mean you know the word. And which is why the Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things. So knowing God's will and knowing God's word will profit you in every area of your life, in whatever discipline that you study, whatever discipline that you operate in, whatever endeavor that you pursue in life. Yet this preaching is God's communication to the world. Yet through preaching is God's way to communicate his words, his will, and his plans throughout the earth. It's so valuable that it usually is the first way that we heard the gospel to be saved. Go to Romans 10th chapter. Romans 10. Starting at verse 14. Start at verse 13. Back up for a moment. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call him, he'll answer. If you call him, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad he stopped there. Because that presents questions. Well, call, what does that mean? Name of the Lord, what's the name of the Lord? Save, what's save? When I was a little boy, I really didn't know how to explain being saved. I got saved, but I didn't know how to explain it. And so I remember I got saved in church. I went around telling all my friends, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. They said, well, what you mean you're saved? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven now. They said, well, how do I get saved? I said, well, you got to make a commitment. You won't smoke, you won't drink, you won't have sex, you get married, you won't get high, you won't go to parties. They said, my friends, I don't want to be saved. Because if that's what you think saved is, who wants that? If it just sounds like a bunch of rules of what you can't do. And some that is not being saved. So, folks, I'm glad you asked. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Keep on going. But how then shall they call? See, what he's doing, he's really backing up. He states the end, then he backs up, gives us the process. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it is important for you to hear preaching. It is important for there to be preachers so people can hear God's word. And how shall he preach except to be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. As I said, Paul states the outcome and then he states the process. So you really, to really get the essence of what Paul's saying here, you got to read it backwards. Let's start at verse 15. God sends somebody to preach. The person who he sent preaches so you can hear. And as a result of hearing, you believe. And as a result of believing, you call on him in whom you believe. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it all starts with preaching. Verse 16, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? I'm so glad I got settled in the fact that it's not my job to make y'all believe. I used to really bother me. I'm like, you know, God, you know, you told me to do this. You told me to build this. You told me to go there. You told me to tell people to do this here. People don't believe me. People believe, you know, and it seems like they just don't believe me. And I start reading the word. I start reading the word. Jesus confirmed the word with signs and wonders and miracles. And the Bible said some believed and some didn't. The Bible literally says that Paul preached all day and all night. Paul would go into a city, rent rooms, build a tent. Stay in places for months. And then after he do all this preaching, teaching, and it still says, and some believe and some not. Now, unlike a friend of mine who got up publicly and around 1,000 people and told the people that he said the Lord called him to be a great apostle than Paul. I don't believe that for me. But a friend of mine, he said the Lord called him to be a great apostle than Paul. I'm not as great as Paul. But if as great as Paul was, who have seen the Lord, revelation, up to the third heaven, and all that. If he can preach and they don't believe, then Herb gonna preach, some folks ain't gonna believe. If Jesus can feed folks to 5,000, turn the water into wine, walk on the water, and they don't believe Jesus, they ain't gonna believe Herb. So I'm in good company of preachers who preach and people don't believe. And so I realize it's not my job to make y'all believe. It's your job to believe. It's my job to preach what you should believe. It's my job to preaching to stir up your faith. So you got to come to church. You got to get preaching. You have to hear the word so that you can believe the word. And all through the scriptures, we see references to both preachers and preaching. There was preachers and preaching in the Old Testament. Noah Believe it or not, we think of Noah just as a boat builder. But Noah is referred to as a preacher. Look at 2 Peter, 5th chapter and verse 5. It says that when God got ready to destroy the world by flood, 2 Peter 2 and 5, and he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the 8th person, who was what? A preacher of righteousness. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So while Noah was building, he was preaching. He said, it's going to rain, y'all. Poof, poof, poof. It's going to rain. You better get ready. You need to repent. It's going to rain. Folks look, man, this man is crazy. And he got his 3 crazy sons out here helping him build this big old boat in the middle of nothing. And ain't no water around here nowhere. So he was building, but he was also preaching. Solomon. We think of Solomon as a great king. We think of Solomon as an entrepreneur. We think of Solomon as a botanist and as an anthropologist and as a biologist. Because, I mean, he studied the ants. He studied everything. He studied rocks. As a geologist, I mean, Solomon had it going on. And with all the knowledge and all the wisdom and the building and the splendor of his kingdom, Solomon also called himself a preacher. Ecclesiastes, first chapter. Book of Ecclesiastes written by Solomon. He refers to himself in the first person. And he says, Ecclesiastes 1 and 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. So we see Noah was a preacher. Solomon was a preacher. John the Baptist, we know of him as the precursor, the one who came before Jesus to tell people about Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus. And yet John the Baptist is also referred, it was a preacher. Mark 1 and 7 said, and he preached, saying that there cometh one mightier than I have to me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He wasn't just saying this, he was preaching this. He was declaring this. He was down by the river, Jordan, crying out, there's coming somebody after me. And the organ went, dun-dun-dun. Whose shoestring all the way, dun-dun. I'm not able to stoop down and unleash. Somebody said, thank John. That was down at the river preaching, y'all. Paul, apostle, teacher, church establishmentarian, he still referred to himself as a preacher. 2 Timothy, 1 chapter and verse 11. Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of Gentiles. The Bible esteems preaching. And those of us who come to church like this, a word church and word people, don't despise preaching. Because preaching is what usually what initially arrests you. Preaching is what initially gets your attention. Now, it's going to take some teaching to get you rooted. But preaching gets your attention. The Bible says that Jesus would preach in their cities and teach in the synagogues. So he held evangelistic meeting preaching, and then when once they were coming to church, then they got to be taught. But we need both. That's why Paul calls himself here, 2 Timothy 1:11, I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. So obviously they are different. Preaching tends to be more foolish than the others. Thus the foolishness of preaching. Most significantly, Jesus himself was a preacher. Luke the 4th chapter and verse 18. And he quotes from the book of Isaiah. He goes into the temple, picks up, it was his Saturday to read. Okay? Which means he showed up when he's supposed to show up. You know how? You know, when it's your time to pray, and your time to lead, and your time to usher, and your time to be in the camera, and your time to be in the sound. It was Jesus' time to be in the scripture. He just stumbled on there. Really, he was scheduled. And when it was time, his turn to read the scripture, he got up and he read from the book of Isaiah. His reference for us is Luke 4, 18 and 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Glory to God. Poor don't just need money. The poor need the gospel. Hallelujah. The poor don't just need a better place to live. The poor need the gospel. Because if you get the good news, you can get a better place to live. You get the good news of the gospel that Jesus became poor, that you through his poverty may be made rich. Man, you can get anointing on you that you realize God will start blessing the work of your hand, and you don't have to be in this place anymore because of God will bless you more and more. The poor don't just need services. They need preaching. Preach the gospel to the poor. And they sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Man, I can get stuck right there. Preaching can cause you to be delivered. You think you can't get out, but preaching caused you, no, I'm getting up out of this thing. Preaching caused you to shake yourself loose, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty through preaching them that are bruised. Verse 19, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To preach, every time you read that, the acceptable year of the Lord. Somebody say, this is my year. This is my year. I'm preaching you the acceptable year of the Lord. This is your year to be delivered. This is your year to come out. This is your year for a turnaround. Preaching. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, and Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then the preaching also was accompanied with signs and wonders and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. In the words of Bishop Bailey, the scriptures are not always a book of details, so whatever detail is there is important. Healing all manner of sickness. That means there's no manner of sickness you have that you can't be healed of. Doctor said there's nothing that we can do. Doesn't mean there's nothing that can be done. Amen. Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus was a preacher. We see it again in Mark, the first chapter, verse 38 and 39. But the script, before that, Jesus had gotten up before it was day. Jesus came to town. It was noise abroad that he was there. And folks came to the door. And everybody bringing anybody sick. Everybody wanted to hear Jesus. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Some people want deliverance. Some people just want to see. Some people starstruck. You know how that is. Some people just want to be there because of the crowd there. They don't even know what's going on. What's going on? And so after Jesus praying for all these people, Jesus got up early in the morning and started praying, sought the Father, and God gave him his schedule for that day. That's good. And so his disciples were looking for him. Jesus come back and they said, Jesus, where are you? You still got healing lines here. There's still folks that need you here. Look at Jesus' response in Mark 1, verse 38. And he said, let's go into the next town. Oh, wait. But Jesus, people here still need you. That's their schedule. That ain't God's schedule. Oh, come on. I don't have to. But Jesus is still here pulling on you. Let's go to the next town because I've been in prayer and everybody's crisis is not my schedule. Sometimes when folks start asking me stuff that I know is their crisis but ain't God's schedule, ain't my schedule, I'm just going to say Mark 1:38. And he said, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. See, you can spend your time fulfilling other people's agenda or God's agenda. Verse 39, what did he do when he went to the next town? And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Well, did y'all realize this? Jesus was preaching from childhood. He was bootlegged, but he wasn't licensed until you're 30. Okay. He was in the temple discussing, debating, giving scripture to the elders. He preached throughout his ministry. And whether y'all realize this, even after he died, while the body was in the tomb, his body was in the tomb, but his spirit went down into the lower part, into hell, and he was preaching. Now, Pastor, where you get that from? It's right here. And y'all know I ain't making this up. Even after his death, he was preaching 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 19. Talking about Jesus in his death. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Y'all know it ain't just spirits in prison. It's bodies in prison. Amen. He's talking about, just talking about while his body was in the grave, his spirit was still working. He went into the lower part and he was preaching to the spirits, and obviously somebody heard the preaching. How do we know somebody heard the preaching? Because the Bible says, y'all gotta really read this thing. The Bible said when Jesus got up, other folks got up with him. And many folks who had been dead for years came back knocking on the door. And somebody said, Cleo, is that you? Because preaching will resurrect people. Preaching will get you out of depression if you receive it. Preaching will help you get your mojo back. Preaching will help you get your joy back. Jesus instructed and then he commanded his disciples to preach. He tells them in Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. He further tells them, if you drop down there from in Matthew 10:27, he tells them again, what I tell you in darkness, speak it in the light. Y'all hear me, preachers? What God tells you in the darkness, you got to speak it in the light. What I tell you in darkness, speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you on the housetop. God said, there's going to be some things that I'm going to tell you that they won't know. But what I tell you, you tell them. I'm going to reveal some things to you in secret. But when you preach it, you're going to preach revelation that I gave you. There's going to be some stuff that when you're alone with me, praying in the spirit, or alone with me, just seeking my faith, I am going to speak it in your ear. But you go declare it with confidence in the housetop. Where you get that from? The Lord told me to tell you. The foolishness of preaching. Paul admonished and he commanded Timothy to preach. He said, don't let these. I was talking to a group. On Friday down in Myrtle Beach, and I got a paraphrase for this scripture. Paul said, let no man despise your youth. And let me tell you what Paul was really telling Timothy. Don't let these old folks punk you. That's what he was telling them. Don't let anybody despise your youth because they're older than you naturally, because they're older than you based upon their birth certificate. When I anointed you to preach, I anointed you to preach beyond age. Come on now. I anointed you to preach the word of God that it doesn't matter who your audience is. The word of God will break down the fetters. The word of God will loose people's minds. The word of God will, the anointing that's on the word will cause burdens to be removed and yokes to be destroyed. Don't let these old folks punk you. If I anointed you, I anointed you, and don't be moved by their faces and don't be moved by their age. When we first started the ministry years ago, I was on the radio. I was real deliberate. You know, when you first, you're still trying to establish yourself. You're still trying to, you know, I very deliberately spoke like this. And I didn't want folks to be able to tell my nationality, perhaps on the radio, etc. So I wanted to draw a big net and draw all types of people. So people didn't know who I was or what I was. I was on a predominantly, you know, a mainstream AM Christian station that I was on, and folks would come, and I mean all kinds of folks come, and when old folks, young folks, black folks, white folks, everybody used to come. I was on the keyboard, and then I would get up and I would do the offering, and say, "Oh man, the guy on the keyboard does the offering too. That's cute, okay?" And then I was praying. And then when I would pray, I said, come on, bow our head, close our eyes, or whatever, pray for the word. When I opened my eyes, it was gone. Seriously. Yeah, the parents can tell you, that's happening all the time. Because they wasn't expecting somebody to look like me. Sometimes by color, and sometimes based upon, because I was so young and fine. I don't know which messed them up more, because I was so fine, I was so young. And then being young and fine, you know, you really, some people just can't handle all that. I was just too much for folks, you know what I'm saying? But listen, folks would, and I remember then sometimes seeing folks in Walmart and they say, you know, older people, I said, I visited your church and I listened to you on the radio. And you just have such wisdom for such a young man. I was really expecting an older man. I'm like, but you just said the word drew you. You see what I'm saying? That's why Paul said, don't let these old folk punk you. Don't let anybody despise your youth, make little of you if you got my word in your mouth.
How's your prayer life? Are you reading the Word consistently? Let's go back to basics in this powerful series that will help you build a firm foundation in your Christian walk. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey encourage you with messages of fellowship, word, and prayer. Order this powerful three-part series today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Back to Basics. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.